Hello, my name is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and this program is about a process I call Diaprax, which actually is the second part of Proverbs 3, 5, which is leaning to your own understanding. And I tell people, when you want to understand Hegel's dialectical process, look at Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That is the process. Excuse me. Last program, I said I was going to finish on Adorno, but I just got a few more quotes I want to go through. And his book, Authoritarian Personality, since Benjamin Bloom, all teachers certified on Bloom, all accredited schools, Christian included, accredited on Bloom's taxonomy, if they are accredited on Bloom, now some might not be, but pretty good odds they are, structured off of that development of curriculum, which is dialectical or a patriarchal paradigm. So I'm looking at Adorno, since Bloom refers to Adorno as his Weltanschauung. And Adorno's work is very important for justifying a lot of the social programs going on, not only in this nation, but around the world. Picking up from where I left off, Erich Fromm, another man that Bloom referred to, his book Escape from Freedom, the very book itself, he says, Hegel and Marx have laid the foundations for the understanding of the problem of alienation. Now, see, the time the parent tells the child they can't do what they naturally want to do, that's the source of alienation, the source of neurosis. When God told Adam, and then Eve was confronted by Satan, got her into dialogue, she revealed the source of alienation in her life. Anytime you have an ought to be, there's an alienation that's been caused by a not. You see, the dialectic has thesis, antithesis, synthesis. The thesis is the cannot. The antithesis is the ought. Well, I ought to be able to. Why? Why can't I? Because somebody said I cannot. And the synthesis is the thought. It's the thinking upon the ought. And then if you can justify the ought, you can negate the thou shalt not, and you can do whatever you want to do. And so to overcome alienation, you have to, this is what Hegel and Marx were all about. They laid the foundation for the understanding of the problem. Where does the problem begin? It begins when you obey parent, obey God, obey any higher authority that has a command that interferes with your natural inclination to relate with the creation. Broner, in his book Critical Theory and His Theorists, he writes, alienation has a long history. Now, remember, these guys are all about the secular society. We got to, you know, you can keep your religion, but, you know, we want the public schools to be secular. We don't want the Ten Commandments in there. We don't want the Bible. We don't want the prayer. We don't want the chastening, the spanking, because those are all sources of alienation. And we just want it to be academic. See, we thought we could separate academic from the biblical, but here's what they're all about. I call it secularized Satanism, intellectualized witchcraft, because they all go to the scriptures. And Broner reveals that alienation has a long history. He says, its most radical sense, radical, a fundamental religious extremist experience, already appears in the biblical expulsion from Eden. In other words, God's saying, this is my house, you're going to live according to my rules, and if you can't live according to my rules, there's the door. And so that's radical. See, that has to be eradicated. That has to be annihilated, as Marx would say. Once the earthly family, the parents who say, listen, you're going to stay in our house, you're going to live by our rules. Once that traditional family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, God who says, listen, if you want to spend eternity with me in heaven, you better live according to my standards. Oh, no, oh, by the way, you can't, but Jesus, my son, has come down, lived according to my standards, paid for your price. You believe upon him, you will spend eternity with me instead of eternity in hell. See, that's radical. That's a fundamental religious extremist attitude. That's judgmentalism. And so critical theorists, and that's the Frankfurt School and their theory, he writes then with Broner, he says, God is thus the anthropological source of alienation. That's what this, all this social health, all the health program, the money about health program, folks, it's not physical. You know, they'll use that as a front. It's mental neurosis. You got to remove this fear of God from society. Use fear to get rid of fear. And then it's social. It's social health. What's social health? You've got rid of any source above you that alienates you from the creation. That's the heart and soul of all the health program that's going on today. Then Karl Marx said, the immediate task is to unmask human alienation in its secular form. Now that it has been unmasked in the sacred form. Now that we get rid of fear of God, now we still have the fear of the parent. We have the fear of the Constitution by your legislators and the president, presidents and the courts. They don't longer want to be under the limiting power of the Constitution, the limiting power of property and rights, inalienable rights, which no man can put a lien on. And so they have to unmask that. They say, oh, you're just holding to inalienable rights. When you go to human rights, there are no inalienable rights because inalienable rights come from a higher authority, come like the conscience. No, we go to superego, and that's human, earthy rights. The right for, you know, feeling good, leisure, and guaranteed sustenance. The government will take care of you. Trust in man. And God says, listen, if you trust in man, you're cursed. See, trusting in God is anathema to human rights. You cannot have human rights and trust in God, because that's patriarch to trust in God. Human rights is heresiarch. You can't bring the two together. You even attempt to bring two together, the patriarch always goes into heresiarch. It's just a front. It's a lie. It's a deception. Marx said the only practical possible emancipation, see, from this top-down system, is the unique theory that holds that man is a supreme being for man. So today, you're concerned about how you feel and what you think. When people come to the homeschoolers and say, they ask them, well, what about your child's social life? They're talking about emancipation. They've already been emancipated from the fear of God. They're emancipated from their soul's walk before God. They're taking captive every thought to the obedience of God, because what out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart is manifest, and their heart is about themselves and human relationship and the cosmos and the environment and social harmony. And so they say, what about your child's social life? Let's sell your child to the village. Let's sell your child's soul to the cosmic forces. Let's sell your child to the group hug. So man becomes man is the supreme being for man. When you hear that, what about your child social life? That's Karl Marx speaking to you. And they can do it in the name of Jesus. Norman O. Brown says, children have not acquired that sense of shame. Now, Norman O. Brown's book, Life Against Death, is the Bible of the 60s. He reveals the real Sigmund Freud that is the foundation for Bloom's taxonomy. So when he says this, this is important to understand. This is the heartthrob of the world system. You know, even ministers say, well, you know, we need to get into heartthrob of God. The children's heart and the parents' heart, we got to bring them together. What does God say about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God's not impressed with our heart. See, it has to be changed. We have to trust in Him with our heart. We have to trust in higher authority with our heart, not within ourselves or within man or the village or the cosmic forces. So he writes, children have not acquired that sense of shame, which, according to the biblical story, expelled mankind from paradise, and which, presumably, would be discarded if paradise were regained. If we can get back into the garden, leisure and guaranteed sustenance, if we can create an environment for the children where they have a safe zone, where they no longer have to be concerned about how they feel and what they think in regards to some law or standard given by parent or God, then if we can get them back into the paradise, then we just got rid of the biblical story. We just got rid of God. But we have a new God. It's man. It's the group. You have, your child is getting that group grade, that's God to them. So you tell your child they can't go out when they want to go out with their friends because the school's doing a project, and you say, no, that's wrong. See, they have a God out there they worship, and you are interfering with their natural carnal inclination. And you know what? The social institutions will come to you and put pressure on you, because you're damaging your children because you're teaching them right from wrong. Chastening produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. And chastening can only take place when there is right and there is wrong. And there is no right or wrong today. Everything is just whatever feels good, just do it. As long as it's justified by the village, then it's okay. That's what consensuous means. With the sensuous, with the flesh, with the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's what consensus is. There is no consensus with God. It's confirmation. It's His way. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth. You know, even in Rick Warren's purpose-driven life, he uses the translation, so-called, it's heresy, it's not a translation, by the Message. It says, as above, so below. Do you know, as above, so below is quoted by Christians from coast to coast in the church, promoted by ministers. That is a Satanist verse. That is a verse out of the Satanist Bible. That is a famous verse out of the Satanist Bible being quoted by Christians. As above, so below. That makes God cosmically bound. God is a part of us. We are a part of God. That's Gnosticism. And you just negated thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's anathema. So Christians across this nation are bowing their knees to the Antichrist. Right there, and Rick Warren has promoted it. He put that in his book deliberately, so out of the mouth of the so-called Christians across this nation, they would be quoting a Satanist verse in the name of Jesus. Then he says, this is Norman O'Brown, the new guilt complex appears to be historically connected. In other words, this guilt of, you know, I didn't do what's right, connected with the rise of the patriarchal religion from the Western development of Hebrews are decisive. In other words, the Bible has been the curse of America. We've got to remove the fear of God and the reading of His Word and the memorizing of His Word. We've got to get in groups and get books that go, how do you feel and what do you think, and share our opinion of God's Word, and then the Antichrist can rule. Do you know the church growth, emergent church process is all about promoting the Antichrist? Do you understand Satan, the spirit of the Antichrist, confronted Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus destroyed him with what? With his thoughts and his feelings and his opinions and his group hug and his cosmic oneness? No, he destroyed him with the Word of God, and the minister today are getting the church to run away from the Word of God, to mock and ridicule those who come in with the Word of God, because the Word of God causes division, and we cannot grow the church in the name of Jesus when there's division, and it's the Word of God that causes it. They're not children of God. They're sons of the devil who call themselves what children of God. They call themselves ministers. So the new guilt complex appears to be historically connected with the rise of a patriarchal religion. The guilty conscience is formed in childhood by the incorporation of the parents and the wish to be the father of oneself. So when somebody comes to you and say, what about your children's life? They're going to practice patricide. What about your child's social life? They want to kill the father. Because the father says it's not the social life. Life doesn't come from the social. It comes from Jesus, who is obedient to his father even to death. That's where life comes. Denying yourself, picking up your cross and following Jesus. That's where life comes. And the church is apostate today, because there are those who go to the homeschoolers and say, what about your child's social life? Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. We must return to Freud. This is Norman O'Brown. This is the folks, this is even church growth. This is emergent church, built on the dialectical process, built on marketing. You, in any church that takes a poll and survey, is built on marketing, doing synergy, doing group hug, doing how do you feel, what do you think, even in the name of Jesus. It is built on Satan's paradigm. Norman O'Brown says, we must return to Freud. You got psychology in that church. Freud believed in Orpheus, who is a homosexual who made love to young boys. That's Freud's foundation. You can't have Freud without that. That's his foundation. And that's used in the church, the social psychology. How do you feel? What do you think? Get the eros out. Get the id out. And share it and discover yourself and everybody else in a collective consensus, a moment of oneness. And so Norman O'Brown, in your face, shows us the real agenda. We must return to Freud and say that incest, guilt, the group hug, consensus with the sensuous created the family organization. Why? Because the parent said, no, that's wrong. And when the parent says, that's wrong, see, that causes alienation between you and your flesh and your pride and your pride of lust of your eyes. Then Irvin Yalom, in Theory and Practice and Group Psychotherapy, he sums it up. Freud noted that patricide and incest are part of man's deepest nature. How to kill the father. Haven't you ever resented the authority who told you you couldn't do what you wanted to do? And what you wanted to do was the environment beckoned you, and you wanted to relate with the environment with no restraints, to have spontaneity of the flesh with no restraint. That's incest. College classes on incest today. And then psychology says, oh, we're not for pornography. Let me tell you something. Psychology is built on pornography. You sit behind glitters. Talk about transparency today. Even the leaders say, well, we want transparency. Well, they have transparency, one-way mirrors. They can see everything you're doing. They're looking for your oddities so that then they can draw you into participation. They'd hate the belief-action dichotomy. You believe, but you don't act. Why don't you act according to your belief? Because you have the law of the flesh. And when you don't act according to your belief, what do? You go to the Heavenly Father and say, Dad, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. And the Father says, my son has paid for your sin by his blood. But you must come before the Father and say, Father, forgive me for my sin, and daily walk in circumspect before God. Not in cowering, not in fear. You're no longer, as a Christian, looking to the God, to the law of God with fear. You look to the law of God with his understanding of his mercy and his grace. And the desire of your heart is to walk righteous before him. But you bring psychology into the church. What you have is patricide, kill the Father. Keep the Son, but kill the Father. Jesus didn't kill the Father. He didn't destroy the law. He fulfilled the law. And he didn't practice incest. He didn't worship the creation. He didn't find common ground with the cosmic forces. He didn't look to the environment to find what he had in common with it. And then Adorno said, extreme prejudice, that's a right and wrong and black and white and sheep and goats and heaven and hell. I'm not promoting prejudice as far as racism. That's wrong. But these guys are using the race issue to go after the spiritual issue of above and below. I'm from above and you're from below. Extreme prejudice of a violent and open anti-democratic source. He's saying, these people out there who are like the fascist in Germany sort does not seem to be widespread in this country, in America, especially in the middle class. So Adorno recognizes there is not the problem that there was in Germany, but they proceeded to practice this diabolical process on the children, every child in this nation, in the public schools. You've sat in classes, getting in diverse groups, dialoguing to consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting, and practice Genesis 3, 1 through 6 to destroy the patriarchal voice in you so that you could get your oddities out and discover your full potential and be a part of the village and part of the social change going on, the destruction of the middle class. They did it anyway, even though the evidence wasn't there. Why wasn't it there? Because what happened in America was the middle class was a fear of God, and it kept the nation from going to fascism. There were people who were individual-minded because they feared God. They could stand alone with God, and they spoke the truth no matter where they were, and they brought the conscience back into the community. But they had to destroy the conscience in the community. The media has expunged the conscience. Now everything is, they're shaping the environment. They're giving you the perception of what you need to be thinking and talking about. Because if they can control the media, you talk about what's on the TV and on the radio, and that's what you talk about tomorrow. And you create their history because they give you what you're going to dialogue into existence. Because you're not sharing the word of God. You go to the marketplace and you talk about the news events, and then you quote the scripture, the word of God, and you stick it in there and you bring judgment to the flesh of man. That's not what's coming out of the church today. No, it's how can we find what's common with the world and then market with the world Jesus Christ. And that's not from the word of God. That's not biblical. Then he says there's a cure of one manifestation. In other words, if we get rid of this fascism here, these people who are accountable to a higher authority, who think patriarchal, who think that they're accountable to God, and is likely to be followed by a breakout in some other way, so great is this overall fascist potential. Now realize, he said, the fascist is not in America, but there's a potential. There's these traditional parents out there. He said, so great is this fascist potential that any front might make it even more difficult. So we have to go out there and annihilate the traditional home from coast to coast in America. Your teachers are grounded on Bloom's taxonomy. They go from knowing, comprehension, application, analysis, synthesis. You must sin when you do synthesis. Evaluation, did every child practice sin? They've every child disobey their parent, that every child get their oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda be. I ought to be able to touch the tree and then eat of the tree and experience for themselves truth and deliver them from accountability to higher authority. That's the role of Bloom's taxonomy. You ask your teachers around if they've heard of Bloom, if they use that curriculum in the classroom, they are actually practicing Satan's paradigm that he did on Eve, the woman in the garden. And then Adorno writes, as the present study has shown, we are dealing with a structure within the person. Wow, they recognize a structure within us. God puts us all, he gives us all a measure of faith. That's a structure. And there's a structure when the parent says, because I said so, you understand what that means. Because I said so, that you're accountable to higher authority. That's in us. He says, we're dealing with a structure within the person. It seems that we should consider for psychological techniques for changing personality. We've got to create an environment where we can change psychologically every child. Bloom's taxonomy, first book, Cognitive Domain, page 6 says this is a taxonomy of psychology. It's illegal, but it's been going on from the 50s on. Psychological analysis of your child. B-Step Behavior Science and Teacher Education Program, a federal grant 1970 that came out of Michigan University. One third of it shows how to do psychological portfolios on your child, on you, on your community, every soul in your community. How to track everybody is in that document. That's the benchmark for any educational grant coming from our government. It leads out a feasibility study of where this nation would be in 2100 in the year 2000. Interesting date, 1984 is also in there. And then Adorno says, the problem is one which requires the efforts of all social scientists, the counselors, round tables, psychologists should have a voice. In other words, we have to expunge America of traditional parents who chasten their children and teach them right and wrong and develop a strong conscience which produces a nation of right and wrong. You can't have a tyrant ruling with people with a strong conscience. The Antichrist cannot rule with a people with a strong conscience who fear God, who speak the truth, who understand right from wrong and preach and teach it. Adorno writes, the impact of Sigmund Freud's work on modern culture, the connection between the suppression of children, both within the home and outside. In other words, you see a child misbehaving and you say, listen, I know how your parents think about, what your parents think about this. And once I tell them, they're going to take care of you. That connection between the suppression of children, the psychological dynamics of the life of the child and the adult alike, they had to take this all into consideration under Sigmund Freud. Tijanovitz, who set up the COPS program. Remember, Bill Clinton talked about the 100,000 policemen. That was Tijanovitz. Never was a policeman, but he took the whole COPS, community-oriented policing system, into this process. And he says, the family, the next most important unit affecting social control, the family, is obviously instrumental in the initial formation of the conscience and in the continued reinforcement of the values that encourage law-abiding behavior. You would think that the police would encourage the conscience, but no, a lot of policemen do. They're down, but if you're going to down the grunts, but if you go up to lieutenant and sergeant and all up the ladder, you're going to learn to do team stuff. You're going to learn to go and knock on the door and destroy the conscience. You're going to go in and intercept between the parent and the child and get the child into how do you feel and what do you think and expunge that conscience and move to the super ego so that then they're subject to the village. This is the same thing happening to the police, getting in, how do you feel, what do you think, no longer this is right and that is not. No longer is a policeman out there being told, okay, right and wrong is the issue. No, is it socially justifiable? That's what all the process is about. The power, in other words, everybody's guilty until you're proven innocent. Everybody's guilty. Because the process will reveal your innocence. And if you participate in the process, you're innocent, you're of worth. But if you resist the process, if you're patriarchal, if you insist on right and wrong, if you say, this is my land and not your land, this is my child and not your child, boy, they're going to knock your door down and take your child and they're going to take your land because you have the wrong paradigm. You think wrong. It's how you think that's the problem. You're thinking like God. This is a spirit of Antichrist. That is now the laws of our land. That's a spirit you're standing up against. And people say, oh, we got to get political. We got to go after this and that. Let me tell you something. God's looking at your heart, your relationship with him. Get your relationship right with him, and then he will take care of the rest. Until you get yourself right with him, why should he bother? The issue is you and your heart. Is he your heavenly father? Do you obey him? Do you fear him? Do you love him? Do you serve him? Do you humble yourself before him? Or you just use him as a sounding board and you know, bless me God, and go out and do whatever you want to do. You even do it in the name of Jesus. Nan Adorno writes, the power relationship between the parents, the domination of the subject's family by the father or by the mother, and their relative dominance in specific areas of life also seemed of importance for our problem. Definitely, they were all about the destruction. They have to identify what you have to destroy. You know, if you're going out to shoot something, you have to at least know what it is you're shooting at. And again, I shared this before, it would then be more understandable why the German family, that autocratic family, why its long history of authoritarian, threatening family figures could become susceptible to fascist ideology. And that phrase right there justifies the UN in this nation. That's their agenda. How to destroy the patriarchal home. The major implication was the transformation of the family's role in the process of socialization. That's Martin Jay in his book, The Dialectical Imagination. So the whole process was to transform the family's role. And James Coleman, as I said earlier, in the Adolescent Society, he said equality of opportunity. If we want equality in this nation, becomes ever greater with a weakening of the family power. We've got to destroy that patriarchal system. Adorno says few parents can be expected to persist for long in educating their children for a society that does not exist, or even in orienting themselves toward goals which they share only with a minority. So therefore, the patriarchal parents in this nation in the 50s and 60s who had the greatest voice in this nation, since this nation was now under the control of social psychologists like the Frankfurt School, who were involved in our military, involved in the education, involved in the workplace. Since they were the social engineers restructuring society, the citizens of America had no voice other than to march to their tune. That's their attitude. That's their concept of freedom. You can think whatever you think as long as you think like us. Irvin Yalom says, without acceptance, parents and patients enter group therapy with a history of highly unsatisfactory experience in their first and most important group, their primary family. This is counseling today. How did even the ministers, how did to destroy this patriarchal system, that standard bearer, the husband, who interferes with the feelings of the children and the wife. Now, is man right? No, God is. Godly men should be the heads of their home. Men should be the heads of their home, husbands. But that has to be destroyed. It's pretty much destroyed today, mocked and ridiculed. And then France Alexander, he says, to expose the patient under more favorable circumstances to emotional situations which he could not handle in the past. In other words, you couldn't handle the emotion of the parents and rebellion authority. Undergo a corrective emotional experience suitable to repair the traumatic experience of previous experiences. In other words, we have to create a psychological environment where you can now experiment and role play deliverance from fear of God. That's all Satan was doing with Eve in the garden. Well, we'll continue after these messages. Hopefully, I'll close up today on the dialectical process and Theodore Adorno.